question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Okay, it's your travel duo, Robert, Mary, back with you, ready to go for the G Block on our award-winning national travel show. And as we move into the personal connection portion of the program for the next 10 minutes, well, it's being made possible by Travel Guard Travel Insurance.
And just like having quality luggage, a valid passport, and a good itinerary, in today's world, travel insurance is important for a successful trip. You just never know when it comes to emergency travel situations. And rather than putting your investment or your well-being at risk, it's affordable and it's going to give you protection in a lot of different ways.
You know, when you think about what travel can cost and the expense you're facing if or when something goes awry, do what we do. Get covered with TravelGuard.com, folks. You can also find a link at RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
All right, let's get right into this. Does food inspire your travels? Or does travel ever inspire you to try to bring home ideas and recipes from some of your favorite trips? It certainly does for us, and you hear us frequently talking about this on the show. We think food and travel are completely interconnected. And since you're probably nodding your head right now and can relate, or we certainly hope you are, you're going to understand why our next guest fits into today's personal connection segment. Kathy Connolly has been bobbing between culinary and travel her whole life, and she's waiting for us on the show hotline to share more.
Happy New Year, Kathy. Welcome to America's number one travel radio show.
Great to be with you. Well, thank you for having me.
Well, you are very welcome. It's nice to have you here with us. The first show we're kicking off of the new year, so nice to have you aboard with us. We've got the book here with you. You wrote a new book that we want to get to with you today. But first, I want to work off of what Mary just referenced in your setup, as it's something that we really strongly believe, and that's how connected food and travel really is with people. And if it isn't, it should be. So I can't tell you how many times we've traveled and had a great meal, and we've tried to replicate it at home. Or, you know, how it's pretty much ensured that we're going to return to that place again. So something as simple I can think of as, you know, Cacio e Pepe in Rome is just one example. The Palmer House Brownie in Chicago is another thing that comes to mind. So what's your interpretation of the relationship between food and travel?
Well, you know, for me, one of the great things about traveling is exactly what you said. You go places, you see new ingredients, you see new ways to present things, whether it's an artichoke in France, which is so iconic, or French onion soup, or baguette under someone's arm. And I think that when you see those things, I think all our instincts are, I'd like to try it. And then myself, I have found, I want to make that. I want to see if I can replicate that and have that in my own kitchen and share it with my own family and friends. And I think that's one of the things that I love. And also, when it gets you out of your own rut, if you will, mm-hmm. and seeing exactly what other people do and how they do things differently than maybe you've ever thought of. And I think in some of the recent travels that I had in September, October, I really saw that play out.
I agree. Talk about a rut. We've all been in one for 20-something months now.
Yeah,
really appreciate the fact that you went through and you worked on this last year during a difficult time. Kathy, the book is called Flavor with Benefits. And really, I see it as a written version of what I would call a really deep personal connection to food and travel. At first glance, when you start to flip through it, it looks like it's just another recipe book. But in fact, it is not. It's filled with gorgeous photography. But what I really connected to were all of your personal anecdotes, some of which go back to your childhood in Metz, France, where you lived for a time. So share why you included some of your more personal stories. I found it made for a very different read, almost like a memoir.
Well, I think for me, food is medicine. As a little girl, when I went to France, my liver had blown up, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor prescribed artichokes. And I think for me, that really started my food journey and appreciating, you know, what it could do for me. And I think from there, off and on, as we all do throughout our lives, we maybe get busy. But I think food for me has always been that nurturing and connection. And from there, I think as an adult, I was concerned with health issues and started back on my food journey and looking at how it could help me. And I think one of the other ones that I love in the book is about my grandmother, Stella, and how she had her chickens and her cows and help people during the depression make it through and not starve to death. And so you see this whole thing through, many of us have these stories where family members have food and connection to their community and helping others survive and thrive. And I think that's one of the things that I see.
I want to build on that with you a little bit because, you know, health and travel is very important. Mary and I, we have a son with severe food allergies. So it requires us to plan ahead a lot when traveling. You know, we have to work directly with chefs and culinary teams. Dairy is one of his dozen or so allergies, which I know you don't use in your recipes. And ironically, we've always found when we travel outside the United States, we have better experiences with his allergies. For example, we found Europeans, you know, to be consistently aware of how to deal with dietary restrictions and serious allergies. Have you had similar experiences?
You know, I really did, and this fall when we went to the south of Italy, we found that all the menus had all the allergies noted on every single item that you could order, and it, as you point out, it's such a relief when you're so worried about that because there can be some really life and death implications for people. So I really found that, and it was much easier to go through and say, oh, I really like this, and I really like this. The other thing I found with some of the European ingredients is because there's not genetic modification, I found food allergies for myself and other people are less, and things like ancient grains and even some of the dairy and some of the other vegetables were really tasty. I remember an instance in Calabria where I tasted a grapefruit that tasted absolutely floral. I have never had that before in my life, and so the experience of having some of these foods was just amazing.
That's why we all have to get back
the
there.
Produce in Sicily is unbelievable, among other places in Europe as well. Kathy, back to your book for a bit. In addition to the recipes and the personal anecdotes that, as I indicated, I really enjoyed, I thought it was also really interesting. We enjoyed how you wove some historic details in. So although before I said it was part memoir, it's also, I mean, there's just all kinds of interesting historic pieces in here, particularly about some of the influential women behind some of these top champagne brands. I learned something new, referenced as the widows. Yeah. So we don't have a lot of time, but I found it fascinating. So share why you incorporated that as well.
Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to do with this book is stories of intrepid women. And to your point, Mary, we don't often know about women because some of that history is just not there. And when you look at some of the champagne houses, Veuve Clicquot, and she actually started running that at, you know, 26 when her husband died and took it to great levels at great risks, rewards, and all sorts of challenges. Or Eugenie Brasier, who basically was a founder in Lyon of some of the cuisine there, and when they asked her, well, how did you become a great chef? And she said, well, I just cook. Okay, so that's great, and we will all take that under advisement. And so some of these people didn't even realize how great they really were, but they are inspirational when we think something's too difficult. But no, we look to be on the shoulders of some of these great women and learn from them and say, you know what, we can do our part too today, and you know, take what they knew, take what we know, and take it all forward. So I loved a lot of the stories, learning about some of these women. I almost felt like I met them, you know.
That's how it weaves into the book. It's like a conversation. It's really interesting the way you put that as well.
So Kathy, all right, my heritage, our listeners around the country know, it's mostly Sicilian. I know you just spent some time in Sicily. We heard you mention Calabria. Yeah, so Sicily really, it has such a distinct cuisine, you know, from its many cultural influences. Very different than what most people think of Italy. You know, I'm sure that made for some great research for you. Any quick thoughts on Sicily?
You know, I think the funny one about Sicily is, besides arancini balls, which we definitely are putting in the next book,
excellent,
the Palermo special, but we have to say that Mount Etna just photobombed us everywhere we went. We saw her four times, and she was erupting, and so that was quite exciting because we really wanted to see that. Even from Calabria, we saw the Sicilian lady, and we quite had a wonderful time and got some amazing pictures. Got to also see pistachios harvested, which is only an every other year event, and the beautiful ruby and green pistachios, and once again, Etna in the background while we picked pistachios. And so we really had just a magical time. And, you know, one other thing, too, that I wanted to mention for people is because of the weather there is so much outdoor dining that the travel to us felt really safe and really, really easy. And I think that's something that's really nice to know.
Well,
when you think about one of the top.
That Mount Etna, as you mentioned, I know our holidays, we enjoyed a lot of the Planeta wines from there that we have brought back, and we certainly continue to have shipped over to us. So, Kathy, listen, we could go on and on. Unfortunately, we've got a hard clock on this network show. So, folks, the book is called Flavor with Benefits. You can check it out. You can also connect with Kathy on the very active Instagram page, Flavor with Benefits. Thanks for joining us, Kathy. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, okay?
Thank you so much.
Kathy, it was a pleasure. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Fun interview, Mary.
Yeah. Flavor with Benefits is the book, and it's Flavor, F-L-A-V-O-U-R.
Yes, it is. Put F-L-A-V-O-U-R. I'm sorry about that. Folks, right now, though, we need to take a quick time out for some sponsor messages. Still ahead are the right stuff, Open Road and Museum Gallery. So stick around. Don't touch that channel.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back, and you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.